Well, we're continuing with a sermon series we started last week that kind of looks at our Wesleyan roots as people who call themselves Methodist. We're looking at three simple rules. John Wesley, he was born in 1703 and in England, an Anglican priest. And as I said last week, he was in very much Billy Graham of his day. He was an incredibly influential guy and just started a movement that in many ways we are still a part of today as a Methodist church. And so as he would have his groups, the people that were being converted, the people that were a part of the churches that they were growing into, he had something called classes or societies. We would call them today small groups or maybe Sunday school classes or things like that. But there's a smaller arrangements of people. But they were very intentional. I'll get into that a little bit more as we get into the sermon about what they did and what they learned. But he gave them some rules. But he didn't give them a bunch of rules. He gave them three rules, which that Bishop Rupin Jobe has sort of paraphrased into be three simple rules. And so we started last week and we looked at do no harm. And there we go. Do no harm. Today we're going to look at do good. But I appreciate the feedback I got from a lot of y'all who said, you know, I tried to do that this week, you know, and there's a lot to that. It takes a lot of restraint. It takes a lot of discipline to do no harm. And a couple people even asked me, what do you do when you mess up? I didn't mean to do harm, but I know I've done harm. So what do you do next? And you're going to think the same thing when we talk about doing good here. And as simple as it might sound, it's not easy. I didn't say there were three easy rules. There are three simple rules. And so before we get finished today, I'm going to talk about what happens when you mess up. You know, what do you do next? How do you uncover all of that? And so we're going to begin by looking at a scripture. And then we'll come back and look at that a little bit too. So you'll be familiar with this. A lot of you will, because it's a famous parable that Jesus taught. And sometimes you will hear people referred to as a good Samaritan, somebody who helps, you know, somebody change a tire down on the road or something like that. They call them a good Samaritan. But let's look. There's more to maybe this story than sometimes just helping somebody change a tire. So let's take a look at this, and we'll unpack it a little bit through the sermon. But he said, on one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. And he asked Jesus, but who is my neighbor? And so Jesus told this story. He replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And those of you who are going to have the good experience, great experience of going to Israel with us next year, going to see that road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And when you say you're going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, you're going down, because the elevation from there is incredibly, incredibly steep as it goes down. I mean, one year that I was there, it was actually snowing in Jerusalem in the February morning that we left. And by the time we got down to Jericho, it was about 85 degrees. That's how much difference there is there. And it was a windy road, and it was a mountainous road, and it was a steep road, and it was a dangerous road. And so as he was going down this road from Jerusalem to Jericho, he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, and this, don't let this word be lost on us, a Samaritan, what that meant. I'll come back and we'll revisit that at the end. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. And then Jesus said to the crowd, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robber? And the expert in the law replied, couldn't even bring himself to say Samaritan. Notice that. He said, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. And so what does we mean when we say do good? And I want to start by giving you a quote, a couple of quotes from John Wesley. And remember, John Wesley was writing 170 some odd years ago or more when he was writing and saying this stuff. So it's kind of an old English archaic language and takes a little bit of updating at times. But I just want you to get the flavor of what he's talking about. He said, it is therefore expected of all who continue in Methodist societies and classes. What if we said, it is therefore expected of anyone who continues in crew or a Sunday school class, these things, okay? That's to put it in updated language. It is therefore expected of all who continue in these classes that they should continue to evidence their desire for our salvation by doing good, by being every kind merciful after their power as they have opportunity, doing good of every possible sort as far as possible to all. John Wesley also has another famous quote where he said this, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Do good. Do good. So what does he mean by doing good? What does it mean to do good? What kind of things are we talking about? Well, he starts off by saying this, do good to all, to their bodies, of the ability which God giveth by giving food to the hungry, clothes to the naked, by visiting and helping them that are sick or in prison. So the Good Samaritan's a great example of right? You know, he did good for somebody who was in need. Doing good. And that's, we kind of get that. You know, we understand that. And that's part of really who we seem to be in our DNA. Just think about all of the good that gets done out of this body of Christ here at Conyers First Methodist. You know, Joshua's already mentioned the youth going to Guatemala, but there's other mission teams that go out. You know, we've got folks that just got back from Haiti, you know. We got folks that go to Honduras. But we do stuff here locally too as well, right? Just think of this summer and the summer lunch program that we did. That's doing good. Think about yesterday, the fam jam that was held. That's doing good. Those are the things that are doing good. And that should be in our DNA to help those that are hurting, that are powerless, that they need our help in doing good for them. That seems like a pretty easy answer. I had the opportunity to go to Kenya actually twice. And both times that I went, I taught some Methodist pastors there in Nakuru. They were native there. And so the first time that I was with them, I asked this question because I really wanted to know the answer. I said, how did you become Methodist? Why are you Methodist? And they said, well, other churches and other groups came and all they wanted was conversions. But the Methodists came and they brought doctors and they gave medicine to our kids and they built schools and they worked on teaching us how to have clean water. And so it wasn't just about, you know, saving souls, but it was saving souls through doing good with all of these things. And I remember seeing a statue once on a mission team, and it had it was a four-sided statue, and on one side it had a schoolhouse, on one side it had a pulpit, on one side it had a stethoscope, and on the other side it had a plow. And you can see that it takes all of those things, and that's, you know, to doing good, to caring for the whole person, caring for their whole being and their whole soul. And so that's part of what it means to do good. And so we continue. To do good to their souls by instructing, reproving, or exhorting all we have any interaction with. What does that mean? Well, if you read the book, and if you read other things that Wesley wrote, there was much more to that. When those classes got together, when those societies got together, they had a list of questions that they would ask one another. And one of the questions was, how goes it with your soul? How goes it with your soul? What if we were accountable to one another in that way? What if each time you were together with your small group or your Bible study, or even just here on Sunday morning, we ask that question? I get convicted when I think of that because I think of all the superficial conversations I have around the sports and the weather and all of those kind of things. But being a person who does good is concerned about how goes it with your soul. You know, what are the things that you are struggling with? What are the things that are causing you hurt? How can we learn to overcome that? I heard a preacher one time named Jim Howell, and he told this story, which I have also found to be true during my years of preaching. He said when he first started preaching that people would sometimes come out after a sermon and they would say, that was a really wonderful sermon, Pastor. You really stepped on my toes. Okay, but he said he had noticed this change culturally, that when people would come out and say, that was a great sermon, Pastor, I agree with you. You see the difference? We have this reluctance to want to be corrected. We have this reluctance to want to be held in accountability. And so part of doing good is to do that for one another, to care enough for one another that we will hold one another accountable to doing the things that are going to help us be whole. And sometimes it means asking hard questions. And sometimes it means practicing church discipline. And sometimes it means not being popular. Yeah, it's easy because we usually draw the circle with us inside of it, looking at other people. But when it comes to us and people holding us accountable, stepping on our toes and reminding us of what it means to practice holiness, to practice godliness, to do good and to be good becomes a whole nother story, a whole nother image. So, how goes it with your soul? And then he said this. Methodists should do good by running with patience the race which is set before them, denying themselves and taking up their cross daily, submitting to bear the reproach of Christ, to be as the filth and off-scouring of the world, and looking that people should say all manner of evil of them falsely for the Lord's sake. Now, part of what he is doing here is he's kind of paraphrasing Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of things against you because of me. But part of this also is being able to take a stand for that sometimes not popular to do good and to be unscouring. I didn't know what that word was. I had to look it up. But it's like when you're like boiling something and you get the dredge on the top of it, you know, that's just scoured off. That we would be like that if that's what it took to be holy and to be good and to be godly. That we would not care if people were saying things about us because we were taking a stand for Jesus, that they were bearing false witnesses against us. So that brings me to something I wanted to get back from earlier. We talked about last week about doing no harm. We're talking this week about doing good. And someone said, what happens when you've done harm? You know, you didn't mean to. You might have been trying to do good, but you did harm. Or, you know, you've done harm, you just fail. You know, maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's just an interaction you've had with another person where you lost your temper. Something where you've done harm. What happens next? How do you get back to square one? What do you do? Well, I would like to suggest to you one of the lessons, that, and I don't get this right. I try to get it right, but I don't get this right. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But it's been something that has been incredibly helpful to me in how to get centered and how to move on the next step about doing good and about doing no harm. And it's this: do the next right thing. What is the next right thing to do? Let me tell you where I learned this. A number of years ago in another church, we had a matter that came up. It was an employee matter with somebody who was on staff there at the church. And myself, along with SPR, had to make a pretty difficult decision in letting this person go. And it was not a popular decision in the church. A lot of people were upset by that. John, can you imagine people doing that? A lot of people were upset and mad, and a lot of people had the wrong information. And there's something about me that, you know, I wanted to get up publicly and say, you've got it all wrong. You don't know what. But I knew that that wasn't the way to handle it. I didn't know how to go about not doing harm and doing good and getting on without defending myself and all of that. And so I called a friend of mine, and we went to lunch, and he told me this thing: what's the next right thing to do? What's the next right thing to do? Well, in that case, the next right thing to do for me was to pray about it and to realize that there had been some things handled wrong. Now, they didn't need to be handled publicly, but I had to go and I had to make some apologies in private, not expecting it, whether the person would forgive me or not forgive me, but I needed to do that. That was the right next right thing to do. And I'm sorry for being obtuse, but you can fill in your own part of this however it works. But to do good was, and to do no harm was, to go and to make apology. And then the next right thing to do was to keep my mouth shut. And that was so hard to do, because I wanted to defend my honor. I wanted to defend the church. But to do good was to do nothing, to just keep my mouth shut. Now, I don't know what it is. Sometimes I see people and they've done something that's caused a problem and they're trying to get out of it, and they end up doing bad thing after bad thing after bad thing after bad thing. And really, it's to take time out and say, what is the next right thing to do? Now, how do you come about making that decision? Well, there's several ways. First of all, I think by just getting still and quiet and praying about it. But God has given you a brain. And in that, within that, there is a thing I think called the conscience, that in most cases, I think most of the times, if you really stop and you're really quiet, you know what the right thing to do is. Right? 90% of the time, I'd say that most people do know what the right. But if you don't, we have God's Word and we have one another. We have other people that we can counsel with and ask with and pray with, and they can help us to know how it is that we get back on the right way and we go about doing the right next right thing. Why don't you think about that whole story that I read to you. First of all, don't let it be lost on you that this was a Samaritan. We like to take that story and we like to put it into a church context where we are the Samaritan, we are the hero of the story. Understand that Samaritan, substitute whatever word would upset you the most, because to the group that Jesus was preaching to, that's the case. They hated Samaritans. It would be like in some places today, if you said the word Muslim, that this was a good Muslim. And so understand how much they hated. And Jesus made him into the hero of the story. Because what Jesus is saying, that there are things that work, there are powers that work, and God cares about a whole lot more that you are doing good than sometimes your belief, your action is more important at times than your belief. To do really good. Now, hear me right on that. But if you're not connecting belief and action, then Jesus is going to tell a story about somebody who didn't have belief but had action to show you how to get back on the straight and narrow. Does that make sense? This was a good Samaritan who did the right things. So what is that for you in your life? Who is it that God would put on your path that would come to offer you help that would be somebody that you would normally reject? Because that is what this story is about. Do good. Do good, first of all, by taking care of people, whether they have hunger needs or housing needs or loneliness needs. Do good by asking the hard questions to people to help them keep on the straight and narrow of their Christian faith. And do good. Do good by being willing to not be popular, to make the hard decisions. And when you get off, remember, you can always do the next right thing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. God, we're thankful for your love and your grace, and how it meets us where we are. Sometimes it confronts us in ways that challenge us, that anger us, Lord, that put us out of our comfort zone. And then the very next time, Lord, that grace comes to us in a way that just knocks us off our feet with beauty and care and love. And so we pray, oh God, that we be attentive at every step to know how your Spirit is leading us. For the things that we need to be corrected on, where our toes need to be stepped on, oh God, help us to be able to accept that with love and honor. And praise us, Lord, where you have come and ministered to us, oh God, we give you thanks. And help us to then be able to, in turn, share both of those things with those that we love around us, to care for those who are hurting, and to challenge those that need to be challenged. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.